are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening. Just get sorted here if I can. And a bit like this morning, I have a bit of a cold that I'm getting rid of, so if I start coughing here and there, please... I do apologise. Tonight I want to just talk a little bit about an aspect of my life that I've been struggling with for the last, well, it's probably something that reoccurs over and over for me if I think back about my whole life as a Christian, but especially in the last 10 months or so as some things in my life have changed, I've had an aspect of my life that has been challenging to deal with. And so tonight I just want to open that up a little bit to you guys. I hope it means something to someone here. I was going to preach on something different, but I feel this is the one that I've got to speak on. So here we are. We're going to have a go, and I just trust that you'll enjoy it and the Lord will speak to you as he chooses. You know, it's okay to struggle with things in our lives. I think a lot of times we put on a mask. You know, everything's good. How you going? Great. Yeah, good. Yeah, life's good. But behind that, sometimes we're always struggling with something, aren't we? And that's okay. Paul talks about in the Bible how he struggled with a thorn in the flesh. And he had that for life as far as what I can read in the Word. He asked God to take it from him. God said no. And so he had to work through that. Whatever that was, we don't know. But it was a struggle that he had to deal with and continue life while he worked on this or warred with this thing. And so to struggle is okay. I think it's how we handle that and how we look at that struggle is the thing that God's looking for. And so I sometimes get frustrated with my struggles, but I'm sure God's teaching me something in them. And so you think that when you're struggling, if a bit of common sense or logic comes into play, you think if you're not happy with something, you just change it. How hard can it be? But for me, some things, it is very hard to change. You know, the sin, I suppose, within us or whatever the case may be, sometimes we just can't change. Well, that's probably a wrong statement. Sometimes we struggle to change. With God's help, we can change. In our own strength, we will struggle to change. And so it's okay to struggle. We just need to work through some of those things in our lives and continually look at ourselves in the mirror and look at the issues that we've got and say, no, I can look at this again. I'm going to be brave enough to have a crack and try again if we fall down. As the Lord speaks to me about this part of my life, which we're going to get into, it's not that I'm intentionally ignoring him when he prompts me to do something about it. Maybe I am intentionally ignoring him. I'm not really sure where my heart is on it. But I get busy and then I can put it to the side. We heard this morning, if God can't make us evil or bad, he'll make us quiet or he'll make us busy. I find that that's where I can fit into really well. Really, that statement rings true to me. I've heard it before. And Dave was, when he said that, it just rung true to me. I thought, oh, that's what I'm speaking a bit about tonight. I love being busy. And the more stressed or the more issues I have, I will focus on some other tasks, right? It's a great almost escape for me. And when you see some success in those areas, you don't have to worry about the other garbage that's going on. It can be a distraction. But we all know that that's unsustainable. If those of you like me have tried to substitute some of those things, it does come back to haunt us later. Several weeks ago, Andy preached a great message about ice water in the desert. It's a really good word. It was about how we rejuvenate ourselves in a way that will hopefully prevent us from running out of fuel, right? And he talked about our physical and our spiritual tanks running dry and how we can set up a series of things in our lives that can prevent that from happening. There was a problem with Andy's message, is that it came at the wrong time for me. And I have spoken to him about that. He needs to sort that out with God and get his timing right next time. But realistically, on that particular Sunday night, I was sitting over there and I was really edgy. My tank was empty. I just felt utterly empty. And I was anxious. I wanted to get up and leave the service, not because it was bad, but because I just couldn't settle down. And that's how I am when my tank is empty. I'm concerned. I'm anxious. My peace is gone. And so tonight, and I mentioned to Andy that I want to preach on part two of his sermon. And I was hoping he didn't have a part two because I'm going to preach it. And I'm going to preach about the next part of it. Andy talked about what happens to prevent ourselves from running out of fuel. But for those of us who have maybe run out of fuel or have run out of fuel, what do we do then? You know, that I think the two go hand in hand. I'd encourage you to podcast if you missed Andy's message. And tonight I just want to take it to the next level. How do you rebuild? How do you get back into the flow of the Holy Spirit if you've been struggling? And for me, this is the area of my life that I can struggle with, is that if I'm very task orientated, and so if I go after something, one of the things that can slip is my relationship with the Lord, because I'm task orientated. So it's a gift I've got, but there's a negative to it. And so the other Sunday night, I was out of juice. I felt I was out of juice, and it's as if I'd parked the car on the side of the road, and I was walking down the street with my jerry can. We're walking down the road, and I didn't know where the servo was, but I had to go and get some fuel. And that's how I felt. And so tonight, I want to talk about finding the Lord's petrol station. And there's a picture of a bloke like me, spiritually, okay? We know that the physical and the spiritual are intertwined. And so when our physical tank is empty, generally our spiritual one is as well. Or if we haven't worked on our spiritual tank, our physical is going to run dry. And I could feel myself, this is where I was at, I could feel myself spiraling down. It happened very suddenly. I knew it was coming. I had some inclinations or promptings from the Holy Spirit. And then, bang, I was just in a bit of a pain. And so tonight, I suppose, I want to talk about that. I want to look at some points on where the Lord has helped me or spoken to me over the last few months, and especially over the last few weeks, about how to find his petrol station and how to get back on track. It wasn't a disaster. I wasn't backslidden. You know, I wasn't, you know, not interested in the Lord. It wasn't about that. It was about a personal relationship. And I knew that I wasn't rejuvenating, and I hadn't done it enough consistently as I'd gone after some other things and been doing some other things. And it had, you know, I was paying the price for it. I think we should just pray. Lord, I just pray right now that you would bless this message. You would help me to convey the words that you want me to say. Lord, I pray that you would increase and I would decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who have ever ridden a motorbike, dirt motorbikes are a bit different from road motorbikes. Dirt motorbikes, most of them don't have fuel gauges. They just have a petrol tank, and they have two stages in that petrol tank. They've got a main tank and a reserve. And so you jump on your bike, the tank's full, and you race off into the bush, and you're having good fun, you're enjoying yourself, and common sense tells you that you're running out of petrol. You're using it. So you're running out of petrol and you're riding. But there is no indication other than common sense that tells you that you're running out of fuel. You're still doing what you want to do. The bike sounds healthy. Everything's going well. And if you keep going, the bike will just cough. It will just miss a bit. And that's the first prompting your bike is giving you that there's an issue. But it's not a big problem, because all you do is reach down, you turn that fuel tap around to reserve, and the bike fires back up again, and you keep on going. And it's all good again. And off you keep going. The problem is that if you don't acknowledge that little prompting the bike gave you, you are going to run out of fuel. You've only got about a litre left in the tank. And if you're not heading back to the car by that stage or to somewhere where there's a petrol station, you will be walking, because you're not going to push your bike home. They're too heavy. You are going to be walking. If you're apathetic about that fuel state on your bike, you will break down. And the Lord gives us similar promptings. It's a very practical example of the spiritual. When you are busy with life and you're cranking along, and this is something I'm just rehashing a bit of what Andy said before I get into the next part, you'll you'll crank along and you'll be going fine and you'll get a bit of a prompting from the Holy Spirit. You might be losing some peace. You might get a bit edgy. You might get a bit anxious. And you think, I'll be right. And you go, I'll just have an early night. So you jump into bed, have an early night. You wake up in the morning, you're right to go again. Right? You've done a bit of, you've fixed up some of the natural and you're off again. And if you keep doing these things without doing what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do, which is to spend some time with the Lord and rejuvenate ourselves spiritually, then you will break down and you shouldn't be surprised at that. I think when God gives us our gifts, whatever they are, we need to understand that we sort of live with an attention. There's a gift. So maybe one of my gifts, as I was just mentioning, maybe I'm task orientated. People might say, well, how's that a gift? Well, you can get things done even when there's big opposition. You know, you set your mind to it and you don't lose your focus and you just smash through and you deliver that task. Now, that's a good thing. The problem is that you can lose balance in that as well. And so, like myself, I can go after a task with just intense intention of delivering that no matter what it takes. But in the meantime, I can let things slide. I can maybe let my family slide. I can maybe let my time with the Lord slide. And that's definitely one of the first things to go for me, is that I'm doing something, and it might be I'm doing something for the Lord. So I'm on task for God, right? He's given me something to do and I'm doing it. But I'm still not doing what he really wants me to do, and that's have relationship with him. Because everything comes from relationship. Everything. And so if we lose balance, then that's where the issues are. My heart isn't generally rebellious, I'd like to think. I hope. And sometimes I don't know if I really know my own heart, but when God says to me, spend a bit of time, and if I'm doing something that I think is worthwhile, I don't feel like I'm just saying, no, God, I'm not interested. I'm just busy on this other task. I've allowed the enemy to come in, possibly, whatever the case may be, and I'm charging off in this direction. But I need to, and I think it's important that we all need to just switch off from wherever we're at and spend time. Just a few minutes. Mike Bradshaw talked last year, about the fourth meal, the importance of the fourth meal of the day, which is the time that we spend with God. You know, we have our three meals, and he talked about the fourth. And it's a great word, another good word to podcast, just about the consistency of spending time with God to rejuvenate ourselves. I've just got a mess. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we're not vigilant about our walk with God, if we're not vigilant about making sure that we're rejuvenating and refilling our spirit, then the enemy gets a crack at us. And it's a lot easier if we're not vigilant. But we've got to be vigilant. To be vigilant, it takes an effort. I remember years ago, I used to work in town, and there's all sorts of things that go on in the city. You know, I used to commute to town, and you'd see all sorts of people. And I'd say to the Lord, Lord, help me open my eyes to the things that I need to see where I can be of assistance. Because you see a lot of things you can't be of assistance to. But it took effort. And over time, God would open my eyes and say, just over there, mate. Just go and ask the person if they need a hand. And I could tell you four or five stories of times where God just allowed me to go and do something that was out of the norm that had an impact. Why? Not because I had nothing else to do, but because I actively asked him and then began to look. It's similar to our relationship. We need to be active. It's an active thing that God wants from us. It's a pattern. It's a discipline. We have to be proactive towards it or it'll never happen. So for me, in the last 10 months, there's been some changes in our lives at home. A big change for me. I've done my third career change. I've done one before, and now I've done another one. And for those of you who have done a career change, it's a big thing in your life. It takes a lot of focus. And so I've left the job that I've been doing for 18 years and I've moved into a new role. And that role has taken a lot of focus. And so where I used to work in town, I'd get up. I had to be in the office at 9 so I could get up and spend time with the Lord early in the morning, not too early. It was very accommodating to me. I'm a bit of a night owl. So I'd just get up at, you know, 6 o'clock, spend the time with the Lord till 7, jump in the car, whistle down at the train station, be in the office by 9, and everything was good. If I missed that time with the Lord, it wasn't a big deal. Because previously, and this is very previously, our boys were young, and then I could just spend it in the evening because they'd go to bed early. And so I could either do it at night, do it in the morning. I had 2 hours on the train every day. I could podcast and read the word and do whatever I wanted to do. I had a great routine running where I was constantly rejuvenating my spirit. But now my new role, I'm here before 7 every morning. And when I get home at night, my son now, who suddenly seems to have just grown up, is no longer going to bed. My oldest son at 7:30 anymore. Don't know, they were good times, I can tell you. We had 2 kids in bed at 7:30. Cindy and I would be on the couch having a cup of tea. Oh, it was a good life. Anyway, things have changed. And now we've got homework and it might be a movie with Dan or whatever the case may be. There's distractions. So I'm busy in the morning now. I'm busy at night. The other thing is that my new role is here. I used to come to church. It was a bit of a step away from life. And I'd come here and I'd worship the Lord and it was just something novel and I could easily take my mind away from my work and just spend time listening to the word or praying or whatever, you know, worshiping, whatever the case may be that we do at church. It was easy. Now, I walk in the door, I drive on the property and my mind's ticking. I'm looking at things. I know I'm back. I'm almost on the job again. People might talk to me about something. It just is what it is. And it's hard for me to switch off. And so my normal 9 to 5 has changed. My weekend worship routine has changed. And suddenly I found that my entire routine that I spent with the Lord has changed. And I haven't been vigilant. And I've let it slide. As I've been doing these other things, we feel we're in God's will. And so I'm busy doing God's will, whatever that is, right? It's different for all of us. And I'm off doing this stuff. And I haven't routinely rejuvenated. And when Andy preached the other week, it was too late for me because I'd let it slip. I hadn't listened to the promptings enough. And I'd run out of juice. And I was in a bit of a state. We need to understand, and I think we all do, that our body is made up of 3 parts, isn't it? The mind, the soul, and the spirit, right? We all know that. If we don't rejuvenate our spirit, then our soul suffers. And the Bible says that our body suffers as well. John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." This verse would indicate or tells us that if our soul is not right, then neither is our health. It affects our body. If we want to be well, if we want to be peaceful, and I'm not saying that as long as you rejuvenate, you'll always be well. I'm not saying that. But generally in our day-to-day, if we're rejuvenating our spirit, then our attitudes change, don't they? Because we're looking at things through Christ's thought processes, not our own. Then our own spirits are lifted. We're encouraged, we're not so bitter, we're not so edgy, we're not negative. We're looking at things the way God wants us to look at them. Well, hopefully we are. We've got a better chance to if we rejuvenate ourselves. And then our spirits lift and so do our souls. Tonight I want to look at 4 things. Just 4 things briefly if I can. Things that I've been doing to try and change this process that I'm in, because I've got to a point where I'm empty. How do I refill? You know, where is the service station I need? How do I get back into it? It hasn't been easy for me. It's not that I've backslidden, it's just that I've drifted away a little bit. And so the enemy's had a chance to just come in and had a bit of a win, I suppose you could say. And now I've got to get back on track. And I've struggled to do that. And so tonight I want to look at 4 things just quickly. The first one is not complex. but it's hard to do. It's ask for forgiveness. I think we need to firstly humble ourselves. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. See, when your tank is empty, you're depressed, you're down, you're out of juice, you don't have the energy. We need to be lifted up. It's not that hard, but to do it, we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the realities are that if we're not consistently spending time with the Lord, it's not helping our relationship with him. Then if we're not going towards him, which way are we going? We're going away from him. There is no middle ground. We need to be going towards the Lord. And if we're not, then we're going away from him. And that is sin. I don't want to put too much of a heavy on it, but the realities are we need to be vigilant. We need to be going towards Christ every day, all the time. And so if we're not, then we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, it'd be no different from anyone that we know on the street or our own families or whatever, whoever we've got great relationship with. If we don't talk to them, then you can't just pop back in. If I didn't talk to my wife for 3 weeks and I just woke up one morning and said, oh, g'day, how you going? She'd look at me like, are you for real? Well, you know, God's not like our wives or our husbands or our, you know, friends or whatever, but it's a similar principle, isn't it? We've got to come back and say, you know, we've got to start this relationship again. I've been away. What have I been doing? So we need to humble ourselves. The next point is a bit dramatic, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think we need to smash through the wall of procrastination. And that's what I just feel those are the words that mean something to me, to smash through the wall. There's a wall there that's stopping me from getting back into the flow. What is stopping me? And every time you sort of go up against it, it just resists you. So what do you do with that? You've got to get aggressive with it. You've just got to smash through that. If we give the enemy a chance, he'll build a wall. And if we give him a chance for long enough, the wall just gets bigger and stronger. And that's the realities of this, of what the enemy will do. In the old days, when an enemy came to take over a city, how would they get through the wall? They would get a battering ram and they would just pound that wall. Now, if they came against a cheap old city, they'll be through that battering ram. With that battering ram, they'll be through that wall very quickly. But the big fortified cities, it would take a lot of time. And what they'd do, they'd bring these battering rams in, which is a big log or a bit of timber, and it would swing into the wall, and they would build a roof over their battering rams. And the soldiers could sit under that roof and pound away on that wall for as long as they needed to. And the roof over the battering ram would protect them while they pounded that wall. And over time, if they kept pounding away, the enemy would be dropping darts and spears down, but it'd be hitting the roof of their little structure, and it wasn't concerning them. And they'd just keep pounding away at that wall, pounding away, until a crack would start. And then the crack would turn into a bit of lump, a rock or whatever coming out of that wall until finally there's a hole and then the wall is breached. But it would take time, especially if that was a strong wall. And it's the same in our lives. That's a physical example, but the Bible says that we fight a spiritual war, isn't it? We don't fight physically, we fight spiritually. And so we need spiritual weapons. We need a spiritual battering ram to smash that procrastination. And so for me, I use tongues. I pray in tongues. Chris mentioned this the other Sunday morning. And it is a powerful weapon for me to break through when I need to do something that I don't know how to do it. If I don't know how to do it, then I start speaking in tongues. Because it's my spirit then who's got to do the job. Because my mind is saying, I know I've got an issue. I don't know how to fix it. 1 Corinthians 14:2, the first part of it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And the commentary for this is, for the believer, tongues is a direct line that immediately takes out our speaking out of the natural human means of communication into a heart-and-heart encounter with God in a way that heaven communicates. It's a spiritual language. So when I'm fighting a spiritual war, I need a spiritual weapon. And when the Bible's got a few of them, this is one that cannot be underestimated. Chris preached about it on Sunday, and I have got several testimonies, I don't have time tonight, but where tongues has actually transformed my life within a half an hour period. When I've been in intense situations where I felt that I was about ready to just lose it. And I've prayed in tongues and it's changed the situation completely. And you can't, I just can't believe it. When it happened, I couldn't believe it. And I look back now and I think it's divine. The word talks about it. We need to fight these things as strongly as we can. Now, for those of you who may not have received that gift yet or seen the outworking of that gift, that's okay. While you're waiting for it, the Bible also says we can cry out for help. Right, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's waiting for us to open the door and he says he'll come in and dine with us. We have the ability. If we're procrastinating, we have to just attack it. We can pray loud. We can use the name of Jesus. We can claim it over our lives. Be aggressive with it. We heard this morning about shout. Let's put some aggression into our situations that we're in, whatever it may be. This is something that I've been going through. I'm not sure what, you know, you guys might have other issues that you're going through and you just can't seem to break through. Smash the stuff down with the word, with tongues, with the spirit, with the tools God's given us. Smash it down. God will do his part, but we've got to do our part, and that is we've got to start walking through it. We've got to say, today is the day we change. Jesus tells us to watch and pray. He said to the disciples to watch and pray. He says, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh is weak. He knows we struggle. It's okay to struggle, but we've got to actually pray and be vigilant with that and then trust that he will do the other part. Paul says that he does what he doesn't want to do and he doesn't do what he should be doing, right? Paul struggled, not just with the thorn in the flesh, but just with things in his life. He did the things he didn't want to do. If Paul has these issues, then we shouldn't be surprised that we do. So we should humble ourselves. We need to smash through the procrastination that's in front of us and just decide to walk in a different direction. Number three, we need to face the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy, as soon as you say, I'm going towards God, maybe I haven't been doing it well enough at the moment, I need to get back on track, the enemy's going to come against you. Right, he's going to let you slide while you're doing what you shouldn't be doing. But the minute you say, I'm going back this way, I'm going towards my Heavenly Father, then the enemy is India. And the first thing he comes at me with is condemnation. John 3:17 says that the Lord did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. So if the enemy's coming at you with condemnation, you turn around and you pray scripture back at him. Because the Lord has not come to condemn us, he's come to save us. And so there is no place for condemnation in our lives. So we say, no enemy, not today. Discouragement is another thing that comes. And discouragement is a big thing. It's a big thing for me. It's probably a big thing for some of you. Whenever you've been away or you're starting something, it's like if you're struggling with your fitness, right? You've maybe in the past you were really fit. I used to ride my push bike a fair bit and I felt I was reasonably fit. I could ride around the block, you know, it was all right. And then I stopped for a while, a long while I was working long hours. And then I try and get back on the bike again. And every part of you just aches and the pains and the knees. And you're thinking, I used to smash up that hill and now I can't. And it's discouraging. You've got to start from scratch and just drag yourself from the bottom to the top. Well, it's the same in our walk with the Lord. If we step away for a while, we have to retune into the Holy Spirit. It takes time. It doesn't just happen. It's not going to happen. It takes time. We've got to backtrack. You've got to get back on the path that you were once on, and it takes time. A few months ago, I took Dan up to the Cathedral Ranges, went for a bushwalk, and we climbed to the top of Mount Sugarloaf, which is in the top of the Cathedral Ranges. And to do that, you've got to climb up this track, called the Razorback Track. And, well, there's a couple of ways you can go, but we chose to do the challenging route. And at the beginning, when you leave the car, the path's really easy. It's very well defined. It's thick bush, and there's a path that just wanders the way up to the mountain. You can see the summit that you're aiming for, but it's very easy. As you get closer to the top, you're struggling physically, but the path disappears. There's no vegetation. It becomes rock. And I've got a bit of a picture here tonight. There's a couple of photos there. Now, when you're looking for the path, there is no path. And so there's these little pointers, these little orange arrows. You can see the red circle there. There's a little orange arrow on a tree. And on the photo on the right there, there's a little orange arrow that's pointing you up that rock face. So you don't know there's a path there. You can't see a path. But that's where we had to go to get to the summit. So what do? You have to be vigilant. You have to be looking for the pointers, the little arrows. If you miss an arrow, then you end up somewhere else. We did. We missed an arrow. And we ended up on another part of that hillside, and we just knew we were lost. And it was frustrating because we were on the clock. We had time. We knew we had to get back to the car by a certain hour. But what choice do we have? Do we keep forcing our way, or do we turn around and try and find the path again? So we turned around, we head back down, looking for the indicators, looking for the path that we should be on. We find it. It's the one on the right there. I took a photo of it, so this is the one we missed, Dan. We climbed over those rocks and headed up the hill. Sometimes God's paths are difficult, and they're not easy to see. They're not easy to find. If we're not vigilant, the enemy comes in and devours us. If we're not vigilant with our lives, we'll miss the path. We'll walk off the path. We need to be constantly looking, constantly thinking about what we're doing, constantly asking God, God, show me the little orange pointers. Show me where I should be going, even when it doesn't make sense. Now, a couple of those, I can tell you now on that trip, a couple of those pointers, they didn't make sense. I'm thinking maybe someone's rotated them. You know, they're playing games. You know, we should be going up here. Surely not. But up we went. And we ultimately got to the top. Right? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. We've got to be vigilant and then trust that the arrows are right and do the job that we've got to do. There are no quick fixes. It takes time to rebuild a relationship. And so these are the things, these are the lies the enemy will throw at you. It's going to take too long, mate. You've been away for too long. You can't come back to God now when you're anxious. You should have been spending the time before. You know, that's a cracker he uses at me. Don't come now, mate. You know, you should have been consistent. Yeah, I know. You're right. You know, I get sucked into that. And so I've got to say, no, I can come to the Lord anytime. He loves me. And I get back on that boat, but it takes some time, right, to get back into the flow of the Holy Spirit. Number four, trust that the Lord keeps his promises. He says here, this is Jesus speaking in Mark 11:24. He says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. So we say, Lord, help us. Lord, help me. Whatever it is that you're going through, Lord, help me. And if you ask for it in the right spirit, you go, no worries, mate. It's yours. Let's start walking. We're doing it together. I'm out of time, and so I just want to finish off quickly here. Just give me a couple more minutes. I just want to read you something. Obviously, our sin doesn't sever our relationship with God. Our relationship is eternal. It can't be broken because Christ has secured it. Our relationship with God is unbreakable, yet our fellowship with him can be interrupted. One is unconditional and the other is conditional. Our abiding in him is an act of the will. John 15 tells us about abiding in the vine. Right? It's something that we have to do. It's not something that just happens. It's something that we've got to walk. It's an action. The first step to a restored relationship with Christ, following a period of wandering or disobedience, is a confession of sin and a repentance to walk differently in the future. That's a discipline. It's not something super spiritual about it. We've got to repent and we've got to say, from today I change, or I'll try to change. Now, God's not looking for perfection. We'll never achieve it. And we may stumble and fall. We get up again and we have another crack. We apologize and we start the process again. In theory, and I think it is true, that if our hearts are toward God, these things become easier. They're not always as challenging. I look at some of the challenges I've gone through in my life in the past. Early days, they were just monsters to deal with. And as I've got the tools and the experience and the runs on the board, I suppose you can say, they're easier to handle, aren't they? You just get through them a bit easier. And so it's the same with our walk with God. We may fall and stumble and trip and wander off the wrong path. We get back on quicker as we mature. And that should encourage us. Understanding God's willingness to forgive is essential to walking back to Him. God loves us. His hearts are towards us. Right? Jeremiah 29:11 says that we have a future and a hope in Christ. But if you read that chapter in its fullness, the beginning part of that, that verse is very, makes your heart warm. The beginning part is about how we have to, there's an action we've got to do. We've got to seek Him diligently. Right? So there is part that we've got to do, and then God will do His part. The prodigal son's a great example. He wandered away. We all know the story. And he came back, and the father put his best robes on him, said, "Welcome back." I just want to finish with a picture tonight and a verse. Now, this picture is from the summit when we got up to the top of Cathedral Ranges. We wouldn't have got to that. It's an amazing picture. It's a bit hard to see there, but the view was just spectacular. If we'd given up, if we got lost and had to backtrack back to the car, we would never have seen that. And we spent a lot of time up there, had lunch, and it was just refreshing. And so that's the picture. That was where we aimed to get, and that's where we got because we did a series of things. And it's the same in the spiritual. If we are willing to have a go, God will, and put our eyes towards Christ and fall and get back up and humble ourselves, God will take us to our summit. He'll take us to where He wants us to be. And Isaiah 61:3-4, this chapter is titled in my Bible, "The Good News of Salvation." I just want to read it tonight as we finish. It's talking to us as Christians, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I love that part. If we're heavy, if we're weighed down, put on some worship music, put on the garment of praise and lift your spirit. God will lift, He will connect with us. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. You know, those two verses there are about people who have been struggling, who are struggling, and there's restoration. There's God's salvation. There's something we can do. We put on the garments of praise, and then the Lord will be glorified, and then He restores. We don't have to live in our challenges. We don't have to be condemned. We don't have to fall down and say, "I can't get back up." We can get back up. God will lift us if we reach out to Him. It doesn't take much. Use the tools He gives us and just walk towards Him, and He will do the rest. And we can't let the enemy rob us, even if we think we should be somewhere where we, you know, someone's thinking, "Oh, I should be doing this better by now, Hamish. You should be doing this stuff more consistently." That's what the enemy's saying. He's just feeding that stuff into you. We've got to say, "No, I'm going all right. The Lord is with me, and I start again today. Start again tonight," whatever the case may be. So tonight I just want to pray. That's my message. Lord, I just ask right now that You would thank You for this evening, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that for anyone who's here this evening who is struggling, Lord, with just a wall that's in front of them, whatever that may be, whether it's their relationship with You, Lord, maybe they've left that for a while and they're struggling to come back. They're struggling to get back into the flow because it's hard, because You say that we've got to diligently seek You. It's not an easy task sometimes to find that relationship with You. We've got to put some effort in, and that can be discouraging at times. Lord, I just pray tonight that You would just breathe Your peace and Your encouragement into everyone here tonight. People who are struggling with whatever it is in their lives, Lord, and especially if they're struggling with their relationships with You. Lord, that they would learn to consistently rejuvenate. But if they've got to the point where they're walking down the street with their jerry can looking for that petrol station, Lord, that you would bring them to that around that corner, and there it is, that they can fill their can up and get back on the track, get back under the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for this in Jesus' name. I pray for a miracle. I pray for your presence to just fill us tonight, fill us this week as we go, that you would encourage us, that you are on our side. And Lord, that the lies of the enemies are just that, the lies. And that there's no truth to it. The truth is that you love us and you want relationship wherever that is and however long that takes. And Lord, I just pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.